As we stand, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us here tonight. May your word come alive in our hearts in the sacrament of this communion service and the sacramental act of imposition of ashes. Remind us how much you love us and how much you love us that you don't just leave us the way we are. You cause us and desire us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. One sunny summer day, I lost a shoe. Standing by the bank of the river, I'm holding the other shoe, while the one shoe is, it was one of those Crocs, you know, the Crocs you wear that have, that are great summer shoes. And it was drifting down the river, down the waterfall, and there it went, lazily, merrily on its way, and I'm holding awkwardly the other shoe, thinking, should I dive in after this other shoe? As it's floating away, kind of useless having one shoe. The book of Ruth has a story about one shoe. Do you know the book of Ruth? Won't go into the whole thing, but there's this Mosaic tradition that says that if a widow wants to marry someone other than her brother-in-law, because her husband has died, she has to go to the town elders, speak to the brother, the next in line on the brother-in-law's side, her late husband's family, and she has to present him with a ceremonial shoe. And she's to go to this bloodline of her dead husband, and with the town fathers all watching, drop the shoe in front of him and spit on the ground. In other words, she's not going to marry this guy, the other members of the family. She wants to be released and marry whomever she wants to marry. Part of the Mosaic law. One dusty old shoe. I was going to go off on a tangent and talk about Imelda Marcos's 2,700 shoes, but I won't. You might think that my story of one shoe and the Old Testament rule about getting released from marriage by dropping a shoe sounds kind of irrelevant and without purpose. Well, I'd like to suggest that the image of one shoe actually fits. For today, I imagine none of you came here with one shoe. You both of your feet have boots on them, or shoes. Am I right? Okay. Seems like the norm, to have one on each foot. As irrelevant to Toronto Maple Leaf hockey fans, or whatever other people might be doing tonight, to have some dusty old ashes affixed to your forehead, as irrelevant as that might seem, I would suggest that it is perhaps the most human thing you can do tonight. Trouble with much of the world, and maybe Anglicans too, we're not without our own problems and faults, but we think we're wearing two shoes, but really we're only wearing one. So what I mean by that is that the shoe we're wearing is the shoe of the material world, the human side, and we've forgotten the other shoe, which is the holy. We are intended to be holy people, human and holy. Trouble is, the world thinks it's wearing two shoes when really it's only just limping along on one, trying to be human and forgetting that really we're called to be holy, to be something other than the world's messes, and to present to the world a balanced, a beautiful picture of what a holy human can be, our true selves, balanced. Now, none of these things are terribly possible on our own. We need to be reminded we need each other. You're not here by yourselves. We've come as a community to worship and to remember the two natures, the holy and the human. To do so in the context of the one who was and is our Savior, the one who wore two sandals and lived a kind of life that we emulate, that we want to follow as disciples, as learners, as apprentices on this great adventure of being holy and being human. So what you're doing is extremely relevant. If you looked at Clarington this week, where we live, or the Oshawa this week, you'll notice in the back couple of pages something. What would you see in the last couple of pages of your newspaper? The obituaries. The obituaries. Thank you, Otto. Here's an exercise for you for Lent. Write your own obituary. You see, Christians aren't afraid of death. We have our foot firmly planted in the ground, that we're going to be in the ground one day. We're reminding ourselves that we are human with this bunch of dust on the forehead. So just one suggested activity, write your own obituary. You can be as flowery as you want and then burn it because you don't really want anybody to know how vain you are. No, but, you know, you can say whatever you like. You know, it's an interesting exercise. I think about what would my... You don't have to put the date as to when you died necessarily, but you can put some things about what you might want to be remembered for. Here's another exercise for you for Lent. If you haven't already, you might like to purchase a book or go to the library and find a book. Perhaps this one might be of interest to you. Henry Nouwen's book called The Return of the Prodigal Son. The Return of the Prodigal Son. Or if you wanted to simply go to the library and look up in the art section, the beautiful painting of The Return of the Prodigal Son by, do you know who it was by? Dutch painter Rembrandt, correct. So look up the Rembrandt painting and you will notice on the man who is kneeling before his father and the father has his arms around the son, notice what the young son has on his feet. One foot is bare. You see, the one shoe might seem like it's a strange topic or way of approaching Ash Wednesday, but you'll find both in art and in the cultural world opportunities to reflect on what it means. Now, if you're more of a do-it person, you don't want to read a book, you don't want to go to the library, perhaps you want to be a person who looks in your recycling bin for a shoe box. You know, at Christmas time, we gather up things and we give them away, and hundreds and hundreds of boxes go all around the world with a Christmas box. Do you do that here? Did that happen? Well, maybe you want to do a Lenten box. And in that Lenten box, you might want to put some items that could be sent to someone in need. Maybe it's a pair of shoes for someone. Now, if you want more information about that, I'd be happy to help you make a connection because there are people in Oshawa and people in Northern Ontario who don't have good shoes, proper shoes. So there's a couple of suggestions of things that might... One further one would be perhaps to say that, yes, we're having a study on Wednesday nights and we're going to be journaling. People who like to write, that might be something of interest to them. Maybe you want to watch a movie. I don't know. Do something that's going to draw you deeper in this holy and human enterprise so that you're not just hopping around on one foot, but actually living the holy human life in step with Jesus. Anyway, here are some suggestions. Those are some suggestions for you. Maybe there are some things that you would like to suggest to me, and I'd be happy to hear them, about how you're going to mark Lent. Some of you are going away on holiday. Great. Take a Bible with you. Take Our Daily Bread with you. Don't forget that you are, even while you're on your holiday or wherever you are, that you're still connected here, connected to this church family. We love you. We hope nothing happens to you. We hope you come back safely to us. Wherever you go, I know some people will be traveling. In fact, right now, on Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday, whatever day this is, there are a group of people from Christ Church who are in the Holy Land. Wayne and Susan, Wayne and Susan Oakes, and Chris and... Yeah, so you know who they are. People who are in the band, over in that way, at the 11:15 service. But if you don't go to that service, you may not realize there are four of us who are in the Holy Land right now. And your husband, and people are traveling different places. That's nearly enough, I think, but... Oh, yes. We are about to, having heard the word of God from Joel about rend your heart and not your garments, have a proper kind of a fast. It's about what happens inside you. And, of course, the reading from Matthew's gospel about praying in private, giving quietly, don't make a show of your fasting and so on. Those are important counteractives, or, you know, to the limping kind of society that wants to, you know, publicize things. We want to be wholly human, and sometimes that means doing some things that are hard when you're by yourself and no one can see. And perhaps for some people, that might mean not doing some things, like fasting. Or for other people, it might mean doing some things. That's the things that I'm suggesting about loving life and living Lent. Now, if you're thinking that, oh, Pastor Kit doesn't want me to go shoe shopping during Lent, that's not what I'm saying. Maybe you need to go shoe shopping. I don't know. Maybe that's therapy for you to buy a pair of shoes. But maybe buy a second pair to give away. I don't know. Be part of your almsgiving. So the Word of God is proclaimed, this sacramental act is about to happen. We're about to put the ashes on your forehead. It isn't just any ordinary ashes. These are ashes, I trust, from Lonnie. Is she here? Lonnie's not here. That they are burned ashes from last year's palm crosses. So there's a connection between Palm Sunday last year and the ashes applied to our forehead this year. But they're not just any... formation of ashes, they're applied to your forehead in the shape of a cross. Is that what you do, Warren? In the shape of a cross? So we are not remembering just that we are dust and we're going down. We are dust that's going down to the earth, yes, but we are meant to live the holy life with Jesus, having gone through the cross to the resurrection. We are part of the resurrection movement, the power of the Spirit to living in us. So this cross that we wear on our forehead for the few minutes that we're here shows us that we're attempting to get out of our lethargy and to live this holy human life, and that's exciting. So Lent needn't be morose or a downer, but an opportunity for us to draw near and to live that balanced life that God calls us to in Christ. And that's the last sort of theological thing I wanted to say. I've mentioned all these other things. So I'm hoping that in all of these things, if you get stuck and you don't know how to pray, here's a word to help you. The word is gratitude. Find something to say thank you to God for. If you're stuck in your prayers, find something to say thank you to God for. I know life is rough sometimes. I met a woman today who's in chronic pain. Chronic pain. She's just living in pain. But she had a big smile on her face, and she greeted my dog, Buddy, with a big pat. And, you know, there can always be something to be thankful for. So I'm hoping you'll be thankful for Lent and whatever journey you're on over these days to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the joy of Easter. Thanks be to God.